You're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
If you have your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, we got a bunch of Bibles in the back for you. Those are free for you to take. Kids' Bibles, adult Bibles, whatever you need. But if you have your Bible, and you can open up to Colossians chapter 1. That's where we're going to camp out a little bit this morning, okay? And we have it on the screen here for you as well. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Okay? That's where we're going to spend some time. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he's writing to the church in Colossae and the brothers that are in Christ in Colossae, and he says this, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy," "so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So you're catching us in our second week of our series, The Struggle is Real. And we've been basically, what we're going to do is we're going to look at different words that we ultimately want to acknowledge that we maybe struggle with, okay? Now, this might not be for everybody every single week, okay? But last week, we talked about loneliness, and I got some great feedback from some of you who are feeling incredibly lonely. And that's a real struggle, and that doesn't surprise me because statistics were pretty clear as I was going into last week that nearly 50% of people are struggling with loneliness. So it's like, y'all in the room were struggling with loneliness. That didn't surprise me, okay? Statistics kind of show that. Well, today, instead of kind of dealing with loneliness, we're going to deal with a word that, I'll be honest with you, I kind of latched onto. And I was like, man, I don't know statistics around this word. I don't know if this word is going to be true for anybody else, but I know it is true for me in my life. And so I was like, I just want to preach on it. Because I kind of want a week of reflecting on it and just spending some time thinking about that word. And the word is unworthiness. This feeling of unworthiness. Anybody there? Anybody ever been there? Unworthiness. Unworthiness. Now we're going to tackle that word a little bit from God's word. Okay? We're going to acknowledge that word if that's something that's true for us. And then we're just going to kind of tackle it and see where God wants to go. But if you're cool with it, let's just kind of go to the Lord in prayer, setting up this time for him rocking it, hopefully in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just give you thanks and praise for this moment, this time, where we get to hear from your word. And God, I pray that you'd work mightily in us. God, I pray that you would open up not only our ears, but our hearts. God, I pray that you'd just rock us. If there's somebody in this room that needs a 2x4 across the head to understand some of this stuff, because I think there's sometimes that's us, then do that kind of work. God, if there's somebody in this room who just needs a gentle prodding, and it's just gentle, and they just need a gentle handhold, let that happen, God. God, I pray that you'd help me right now to simply convey what needs to be said. Let me not say a word more or a word less than what you have needing us to hear this morning. God, help Seth kind of to slowly just disappear. And you, God, we're here to hear you. We're here to see you. Please let that happen, God. And that you grow more and more and we get just kind of less and less. Please let that happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, when are the times when you have felt unworthy? When are the moments, the episodes, the experiences that have led you to maybe feeling unworthy? I've had 6 days to reflect on that. So I just give you a second to kind of think about that. Feelings of unworthiness. Sorry, I just need room. I'm feeling congested. Feels better. Feelings of unworthiness. When have you felt unworthy? Unworth. Not, you know, negative, unworth, value. Unvaluable. Full of something that I need to feel worth or value. Not feeling filled with what I need. Almost starts to touch on like meaning of my life. Almost kind of starts to touch on like purpose. The thing I need. Unworthy. Empty. Empty. Unworthy. When are those times you felt that in your life? You know, if you were to like take, okay, under here, if you were to take like $100 bill, oh, see, now everybody wakes up. Now everybody wakes up. But if you were to take $100 bill, okay, this is not my $100 bill, folks. I know, which makes it a little bit easier to like give it away or something. Now there's somebody in this room that would not be happy about that. But if I were to take this $100 bill, okay, and somebody, if I were to take this $100 bill out and I were to put it in my back pocket, I would feel a little bit more worth, right? I would feel at least worth like $100, and that's about all I'd feel, and that's. That's including my wallets in my pocket too. But I would feel like a little bit more worth, a little bit more value because I got $100 in my pocket. I mean, I feel pretty good. I feel there's something valuable that I'm connected with that brings meaning, maybe purpose, okay? $100 in my pocket right now. So unvaluable. Being connected with the $100, not having it by me, unworthy. When have you felt that? Now, it might be in connection with money, okay? It could be. That could be something for you. So the very fact you don't have the $100 in your pocket, the very fact you don't have money has made you at times feel unworthy. That could be true for you. Unworth, not connected to something valuable, and it'd be a financial thing. Okay. What else could it be? I mean, that's obviously not the only thing that we've thought about. So it's not just money related at all. I mean, it could be that. But it also could be other things. Like, you might look in the mirror and you see your body and you might think, unworthy, right? You might look in the mirror and you might look at, and you might say, I don't feel worth, I don't feel value because of what I look like. It could be connected to weight, it could be connected to something that you see that you just don't like. Your nose, some other thing, unworth. Maybe it's something different for you. Maybe it's like relationship. Maybe you feel like you don't have what you need for maybe the dating game. Maybe it's something that you feel like you don't bring to the table and you feel unworthy when it comes to relationship with somebody else. What else could it be? Maybe it's parenting. Maybe it's how your kids have been raised. And you don't feel worthy. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel worth connection with parents, to be a parent. Maybe your kids grew up to be kind of screwballs. Levi, you're on track, brother. You're on track. I'm just kidding. Not at all. Levi's the bomb. See? What happens? We can start to feel unworthy. Maybe it's church. I don't feel worthy to go to church. I don't feel worthy to be connected to a local body of believers. I don't feel worthy of that. I don't feel like I have something of value in that. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, ultimately, this idea of unworthiness, whatever it might be for you, almost always, and I really can't think of a time where it doesn't, plays out when the word essentially comparing comes into play. See, we set up some standard. We set up some standard, whatever it might be, of what something is supposed to look like. And when we compare ourselves to that standard and we don't match up to it, we feel unworth, unvalue, having something that I need to meet that standard. What is that for you? I mean, there could be all sorts of different things. You might have the standard of what beauty is and what an image is supposed to look like. And so you look at that image and you say, I'm not that, so I'm unworthy. You might look at some standard of what some person in some church is supposed to look like, and you're, I'm not that, so I'm unworthy. You might look at some relationship. That marriage looks like that. That's what it's supposed to look like. My marriage doesn't look like that. Unworthy. I mean, it could be all sorts of different things. And so often it plays out in a comparing, contrasting kind of way. And our culture continues to feed this. It's interesting because essentially our culture, what our culture does is our culture kind of continues to reveal to us what those standards are. And so we see certain standard that our culture says, this is what it's supposed to look like. And we say, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. I'm going to start believing that. And then we can't quite get there. We maybe get there for some things. We maybe get there for some things, but there's always something in the dark. There's always something lying there that we can always step into and realize, can't quite meet, can't quite match, can't quite get it. I'm unworthy. I was watching a little video by Jeff Bezos. Is it Bezos? Amazon guy this past week? Thanks. Okay, Jeff Bezos. I was listening to like a really short clip by him. But it was fascinating. Listen, the world's richest man. Okay? Guy's got it. He's got all the money. The world's richest guy. Okay? He could easily say, when it comes to the dollar, okay, when he looks at, I am worthy, right? He's got all the money. He's the richest guy in the world. It was fascinating because I listened to a short little segment by him and he said, you know, I really wish people wouldn't connect me to the world's richest man. I wish they would connect me with like maybe an entrepreneur. Or I wish they would talk about me in the context of being a father. It's fascinating because here's a guy who's got all the money that you'd ever want, ever need. And in that particular area, he can kind of go check, worthy, feeling good. But that's all he's got to do is look at some other person and the way they're parenting maybe somebody. And for him, I'm unworthy. You could be the world's richest man in the world and you can feel unworthy. You see what I'm saying? Unworth, unvaluable. And then, as I was thinking about this, and then really just looking at our text for today, Colossians, look at this again. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What's just happened here? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Okay, now this is going to surprise you how this message is going to go. Because now we stand before our culture and we feel unworthy. Now we approach the very throne of God. And he says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And all of a sudden, you stand before God himself. And you stand before God and his standard. and you start to feel unworthy. That's fascinating to me. Actually, culture and God almost kind of doing like the same thing to us. Usually it's something different. God, you know, we stand before the throne of God in his perfection, and he calls us to live and walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of like, oh crap, I'm unworthy. Like instantly, I'm just like, oh crap, you can't make that one. Like not only not the richest guy, but like can't make that one happen. Here's God who has this incredible standard for us in our life. He's got an incredible standard. You might even go so far as to say perfection. And we walk up against it and it's like, can't do it, can't shoot. Oh, shoot. Oh, snap. Time and time again, and we feel unworthy, not only before our culture and in the world, but we feel unworthy in relationship to God. And so what the question is like, what do you do? Where do you turn? What do you do? And so the first thing I want to tackle is, what does our culture tell us to do? And what does our culture teach us to do is very fascinating to me. This is really an exercise, and I need almost some help with this because I don't think I've fully thought it out. Okay. But what does our culture essentially do? Our culture essentially says, okay, there's the dilemma. We need to get people to feel worth. They need to feel worth of some kind. But a lot of this stuff is kind of frivolous stuff. So what we need to do and what we naturally intend to do is essentially raise the value of certain things. And so we say, okay, we realize that we want the $100 in our pocket. We need to be connected to something of value. And so we say things like, I'd rather you not associate me with being a multi-gazillionaire. I'd rather you associate me with being dad. Now, what did he just do in that moment? That's all he did is he said, the most valuable thing to me, that some of the most valuable things are my kids, which we would all agree with. We would all agree with that, the fact that our kids are more important to us than money. We would agree with that, right? You guys are nervous. You don't even know where I'm going. I love that. I love how you're just kind of not sure. I don't know, should I agree with that or not? Well, that's my favorite part of preaching. So our culture's teaching us these things, okay? Our culture's teaching us there's certain things that are more valuable. And over time, there's another way to ask this. There's a couple different things. What is our culture today? I'm trying to figure out what our culture values most. There's some things that our culture values very much. Almost sacred. The word sacred you might even use. There's things that are, a way to get at it is to ask a question like this. What would you die for? That's a way to get at what do people find to be most valuable. And it's interesting because our culture is increasingly dying for less. Increasingly, there's less and less things that our culture would say, I would die for that. So, for example, we're just talking here. We're just playing. What about like patriotism? There was a day where more people would die for patriotism. And it's just people, it's not like a right or wrong here, guys. The zero heads are moving. Everybody's just like glued. It's okay. Just relax. But ultimately, right? People don't, like, that's just, people would die for that less. Although that is still semi-sacred, I think, in our culture a little bit. There's still like patriotism. I'm not American, right? That's still a pretty sacred thing, but less sacred, I think. Service might be, okay. Yeah, I was going to ask for some help here. Service, so that the act of actually serving somebody else, good. Yeah, that's interesting because ultimately, like, I think things like, that's actually really good, Gary. I really like that. Service, would we be willing to die for service? Yeah, Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I got to think about that one a little bit. I thought of things like motherhood. Motherhood in our culture is still very sacred. Fatherhood less, I think. It's still kind of sacred, but just the way in which things play out, like motherhood is a fairly sacred thing still in our culture, right? Or am I wrong? I think that's pretty right. I think the individual ego, and this is what's interesting to me as I kind of philosophically start to think through this a little bit, I think the individual ego is, but because we know that that's really selfish and wrong, we push it off onto community. But I'm like, yeah, but how many people are going to go into Starbucks? You know, I'm at Starbucks all the time. I mean, the community at Starbucks, nobody's going to take a bullet for that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to take a bullet for that kind of community. So it would have to be something deeper. What are the things that bring our culture most value? And ultimately what our culture does is it tries as hard as it possibly can to raise those things up so that you can have some kind of meaning and purpose in your life as you are connected to that thing. Whatever that thing is. Are you following me? That makes so much sense to me. So if not, ultimately all I'm saying is our culture tries to get you $100. It tries to put some purpose in your life, and it does so by trying to raise the bar of some of these other things, some of which we would agree with. I mean, we would agree with being a parent is more important than making all the money in the world. I agree with that. I'm not disagreeing with that. However, here's the key. Can anything that our culture presents as the most valuable thing, can it be taken away from us? And it was interesting, this past week, I was with a group on Thursday, and I was asking the question about what makes you feel unworthy. And the first person that responded connected their unworth to motherhood. She connected her unworth in this group setting. She connected her unworth to the fact that her kids had gotten older and now is on drugs. And so she felt, even though she didn't feel like she did anything wrong, she felt unworthy with the most sacred thing I think our culture like highlights as the thing where you will feel worth in that. And she felt unworthy there. That was fascinating to me. Because I was thinking about motherhood as probably like one of the most sacred things in our culture's mind. And here she is feeling unworthy in that very moment. That's fascinating to me. What would you be willing to die for? Increasingly, our culture is rejecting more and more things. Actually, we're starting to reject postmodernism a little bit because we realize we need something sacred. Actually, atheism is, I would say atheism is on the decline. Again, I know there's atheists in the room, and that's okay. But atheism is actually kind of, I don't know if atheism is really growing only because we're starting as a philosophical kind of world starting to realize we need something sacred. And so we're kind of rejecting postmodernism and almost kind of going back to a modernity kind of thinking where there's some truth. There's got to be something that's of value, something that's important. Please tell me there's something that's more than just this thing that can be yanked out from under me at any point. I mean, we desperately want meaning. We desperately want purpose. We desperately want value. And so what do we do? Like, where do we turn? That's the question. And I think our text kind of gets into it. Colossians, here, back in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh, shoot. Was that how? I feel unworthy in the very presence of God. So walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. And then here starts to get to be our answer here. According to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. It's Him who's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. But I couldn't get away from the who has qualified you. Who has qualified you? Who is it that steps in to bring us worth? Who is it that steps in to speak into our lives some kind of value? How are we made worthy? And see, for God, it's actually Him. He is the one who steps in to make you worthy. He speaks something into your life that's truer than how you feel about something. He is the one who speaks. And the word is not only spoken, but it actually puts on flesh and comes in the person of Jesus Christ to actually die, to pay the price for your sin, to become a curse, to become unvaluable, to empty Himself of all, okay? To empty Himself so that you might be filled. See, He takes upon Himself your sin, your brokenness, your pain, your feeling of emptiness, so that you might be filled up. Not from the inside out, but actually from the outside, God to you. Bringing you a word of cleansing, bringing you the word of forgiveness, bringing you the word of Himself to you. His promises, I am with you always. Do we really believe that? That's yes, and that's true for us. In baptism, actually putting on Christ. What is inside me that's of any value? Christ. Jesus. See, the message is one where as you're thinking through it, unworthy, unworthy. Yeah. Unworthy. In myself, unworthy. I'm left to my own, unworthy. That's the whole point. That's the gospel. That God came to you who is unworthy. And He speaks value into your life. He says of you something now that's different. And He says, you're worthy. Because you are connected to something of incredible value. You're connected to Jesus. You're connected to Him. And so if Jesus were to fit into your pocket, you're as valuable as Jesus is. And so if Jesus is worth $50, then that's what you got in your pocket. If Jesus is worth $100, then that's what you got in your pocket. If Jesus is worth $200, then okay, that's what it is. Well, how much is Jesus worth? See, this is why He's God. He's everything. He's the most valuable. He's so valuable. It's like that story in the Bible where Jesus says, if you find that little treasure out in the field, if you were to find this incredible treasure, you'd actually go sell everything you have to go buy that piece of land because you know there's a treasure there. And if you know your Bible, you're following me. If not, that's okay. Sometimes just little parts are for different things. But there's a little treasure that's so valuable, you'd be willing to sell everything for that. See, that's Jesus. He's everything. He's everything. We're willing to give it all up because all that's pretty unworthy for the most worthy thing, for worth, for value. Look at the Apostle Paul. I just love how he says it. Just listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. Watch this. I just love how he works through this in his mind. He says this, for I am the least of the apostles. I, for last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me all. For I am least of the apostles, unworthy to be even called an apostle. The apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries of all time, he's saying this. He says, I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I'm unworthy, he's saying. I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm unworthy. But then he says what? I am what I am. But I am what I am. Why? But I am what I am. See, he believes about something of himself that's different. Because why? Because, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. See, that's the first Popeye, okay? It's the first Popeye. You go ahead, Lyle. Just to lighten it up, get y'all to move a second here. It's really the first Popeye. I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't know how to do it really good. My dad's so good at that. But I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to be do this. I'm not worthy. But I am what I am by the grace of God. But I am what I am because Jesus says something about me that's different. Folks, this morning, I think of Hebrews 4, 16. I think of approach the throne of grace with confidence. You don't approach the throne of grace with confidence if you feel unworthy. But when you can realize that you can approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ, we can approach God himself. Not because of anything that's in us, but because of Christ who's in us. And this morning, I'm just encouraging you, if you're feeling unworthy, unvalue, you need to remind yourself, especially if you're a believer. If you're a believer this morning, you need to remind yourself who's in you. That it's God who dwells in you. And you left to yourself are unworthy. But God now comes and he speaks into your life the reminder, no, I live in you. You are made worthy because of what I have done for you. And this morning, if you're not a believer and you're still kind of maybe going after, and my prayer has been that maybe this message has opened your eyes to something that you have found most valuable. And I pray that you'd realize that that thing could be taken away from you in an instant. Even something like motherhood, patriotism. Service. I got to think that through, Gary. Some of these things can be just stripped away from us. And we're left with nothing. But this is why God has come. This is why Jesus has come to you to bring you the most valuable thing, himself. Himself for you and for me. And just know, if that's you this morning, you're struggling, I want to talk to you because I want to talk to you. Other people want to talk to you. Just talk. Let's just talk. Because ultimately, we just got to, remember what I said? Ultimately, this series is all about just acknowledging these words in our lives. Acknowledging them, going to God's word, seeing what he has to say about it, and then asking Jesus to come and bring healing. That's what we're doing this morning. We're just acknowledging the word. I'm feeling unworthy. Okay, let's go to God's word, see what it has to say, and let's invite Jesus into that moment to bring us what we need the most. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for everybody. We're all dealing with this in different ways. But I know a lot of people are feeling unworthy. And I want to keep driving us back to the most priceless, precious thing, Jesus himself, God. For you, for your forgiveness, to make you a child of God, to bring you into his family. Not because you're worth, because you're unworthy, but that's the gospel. That's what he does for us. Let's pray. I just keep talking. Lord, I thank you that you want to be so close to us. There's so many of us that feel unworthy to be in your presence. And in so many ways, we should. We're sinners. We're broken people. We don't have it all figured out. We're still struggling with this sin over here. We're still struggling with this sin over here. We're still struggling with brokenness. We're still struggling with different feelings, all sorts of different things. And in so many ways, we're not worthy. And so God, this morning, I just pray that your Spirit would come upon us individually and as a community. God, I pray that you would work in such a mighty way just to remind us this next week and even going on beyond that, that even though we in ourselves are unworthy, you bring us worth. You bring us value when you yourself come. So this morning, Lord, I just pray that you direct our attention to you. God, you really are what matter most. You matter most. And when we are connected with you, we too become, through our association, through you pouring into us, we become worth. We become worth. I just praise you for that, Lord. We can approach your throne with confidence. As we approach the throne through your blood, Jesus. And Jesus, I pray that the person in this room, maybe who's not even a believer, would know that they could do that too. That they can approach the throne with confidence because Jesus, you have died for every single person in this room. You've not just died for the Christian people. You've died for all of us. You've died for us sinners. You've died for us broken people. And now through your blood, Jesus, we can approach with confidence. Move us to do that, oh God, this morning. Move us, God, to do that. God, we love you. We trust in you. Keep giving us the strength to keep taking next steps, but ultimately just taking next steps towards you and what you have for us. We love you, Jesus. I pray that boldly in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us now, this next week, in all that we do. And may y'all be blessed. May you go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May he go with you into every single aspect of your life, continuing to give you the strength to take next steps. May you know, may you not feel, may you know by faith this next week that he is with you. In his name, amen.